And here we have before us then Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 15, what can only be described by God as a declaration of a conflict. Here we have two forces entering into a battle, and here God declares war, we could say, on a mighty foe. The Lord declares war on Satan himself, and not only does God say that there's going to be this conflict, but God also shows the final outcome. He shows that on His part there would be victory. The final result is that God will defeat the devil, and He'll do it by the means of one in the future. One who will come from the generation of mankind. One who will be raised up, who will defeat the devil. One, the Bible says here, that will bruise his head. And the cost to this person, this seed of the woman, would be the bruising of his head. And what does this conflict center upon? Well, the Bible, we know, tells us in those previous chapters in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 of the creation. It tells us that God created all things, and the pinnacle of the creation that God did make was men and women. And He gave them this capacity to fellowship with Him. He created them in His likeness and in His image. And He, the Lord, gave them something that He didn't give anything else, whether it be the fowls of the air, whether it be the creeping things, whatever it is that God made, He gave man something that none of them had. He gave man and woman a soul. And if there's something you must realize in this meeting tonight, you who are not saved, you have a soul. A soul that will never die. A soul that will live in this life and will live in the life to come. And let me ask you a very simple question. What do you think of your soul? What have you done for its well-being? And I would suggest you've done nothing but abuse it. You've done nothing but to take it deeper and deeper and to sin and into a pit of hell itself. Because this battle centers upon man's soul, but it centers upon the fact that man's soul will go to one of two places when it dies. It'll either go to heaven, or it will go to hell. Where will you go in the life to come? That's a most vital question. And whom you serve in this life will decide where you go, whether you serve God and Christ, whether you serve the devil. Service for one will lead to either heaven or hell. Service for God will lead to heaven. Service for Satan will lead to hell. That's very simple. And you must decide where you want to spend eternity. And you know, you can tell the intentions of someone by their actions. And God here shows His mercy. God here shows His grace because He declares that they'll come the seed of the woman. What is God doing? God is declaring the first gospel message ever recorded in the Scriptures. God here is showing the gospel to Adam and to Eve. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. God's promise of the seed of the woman. There's two things we can say about that. The first we'll say is the need of the seed of the woman. See, it's a very necessary thing that God would send someone in from humanity to defeat Satan. Satan here shows his intentions where man's soul is concerned in the garden. Because Satan had one aim with Adam and Eve. It was to bring destruction into their lives. And he has one aim for you in this meeting. One aim, that you would live for him. That you would do all the filthy works that he would have you to do. And at the end of your life, that you would go to hell. That's what Satan wants for you tonight. It's all he wants. And you know, how successful has he been? Because you're still not saved. And you have believed his deception. And the Bible paints a awful picture of Satan that presents him as the God of this world. We do see his influence everywhere. We see it in the lives of men and women, how they live their lives. Their lives are nothing more but filth before God. Your life and your sin is nothing but filth before the Lord. And Satan has been so successful in his purposes, and here he was coming to Adam and Eve in order that he might bring them into sin. Because if he brought Adam into sin, he brought all of mankind into sin. He brought mankind from a view of eternal life round about to a view of hell. And he does it here in the garden. He brings his destruction. And we see these two modes of deception. We see first with regard to sin. God has said to Adam and to Eve, He has said, you can eat of every tree in this garden except for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have all the trees you want except for this one, because in eating of it, they will commit sin. They will commit transgression against the Lord. They would disobey Him. They would rebel against Him. The command of God was so clear, it was plain, and yet Satan comes in Genesis 3:1. And here we see, hath God said, he says, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here's what Satan does. He comes to Adam and Eve, and right away, he puts doubt on the Word of God. He puts a question mark on what God had said was clearly forbidden. Because God had clearly said it, and yet Satan comes with a question, hath God said? There's one thing that God isn't. God is not the author of confusion. And God's Word is absolutely clear. John Calvin said there is wisdom in two things, knowledge of God and knowledge of self. And let me tell you, if you go to the Word of God tonight, it will reveal God to you. It will reveal yourself to yourself, because it will reveal something. It will reveal something very personal to you. It will reveal your sin. Your sin. Your personal sin against the Lord. The Bible says, all have sinned, and more particularly tonight, you have sinned against the Lord. You have transgressed His commandments. Your righteousness is only filthy rags in His sight. That's all it is. That's all it is. But yet how the devil would like to place a doubt in this fact. There's no doubt about it tonight. You don't like me telling you that you're a sinner. Men and women in this land do not like to be told that they are sinners. They don't like it. Because the devil takes men and women away from the Word of God. He takes them into their cells and into their own deceptive hearts. They set up their own moral compass. They say, I'm not so bad. I'm not maybe a murderer. But the fact is, you're still a sinner in the sight of God. And the devil takes them here and they say, by my standards I'm fine. But they don't see, they fall well short of God's standard. And you have fallen well short of the standard of God. If you're ever going to be saved, you must confess your sin. You must realize that you have sinned against the Lord. Look what it says in 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Do not deceive yourself. Realize tonight what the Word of God says to you. God hath said, you are a sinner. He hath said. You know, Eve rebuked the devil by these words. She showed him clearly what God had said. So the devil decides then, well, I'm going to use a new tactic. He's persistent. He's persistent. He'll be persistent to you in this meeting. Persistent to see that you won't come to Jesus Christ. And he comes here with lies regarding the consequences of sin. You see, the devil would lead men and women away into sin without any thought whatsoever of its consequences. He wouldn't want them to think of these things. And let me tell you, the consequences of sin are more than you're able to handle, or more than you're able to want. Let me ask you, is a moment of sin worth the consequences? Truly. You know, Satan comes here and The Lord had told Adam and Eve, if you take of this tree, you shall surely die. And listen here. He doesn't place any doubt. He comes with a blatant lie. In Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 4, listen what he says to Eve. Ye shall not surely die. A liar. The king of liars. A liar from the beginning. God had clearly said again, ye will die. The devil comes and said, ye will not die. And what did Adam and Eve do? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie of Satan. They took of the tree wherewith they were not to take off. Falling into sin. And the consequences were they were cast away from the garden. Oh, they died spiritually. And as we go on in Genesis, we see eventually that Adam and Eve went back to the dust that they were formed from. They went back into the grave and the devil was exposed as a liar. Let me tell you something, when the eternity looms in you, when Christ comes to judge the living and the dead, you'll see the devil for what he is. You'll see his lies. And I'll tell you something, you'll realize it too late. And you know, there are consequences for sin. And it's a very simple consequence, because one day, man or woman, you'll go to the very pits and depths of hell. I can't make it any plainer than that. Can't make it any simpler than that. Sin only brings forth death and hell, because a holy God will not behold your iniquity. A holy God who made the law will enforce His law upon you. And you'll be lost in hell forever. There's the consequences. There's the consequences of continuing in sin. There's the consequences that you could walk out of this meeting tonight again. You're saying yes to hell and no to heaven. And not only is there those consequences of eternity, there's consequences now, because I tell you tonight, you're in bondage to sin. Jesus Christ said that a man who sins is a slave to sin. You're blind in your sin. You don't see the danger that's before you. You don't see what is coming. You don't see what is looming in the blinking of an eye. You're in bondage to sin, and there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Because your sin will only breed more sin and more sin and more sin. Your sin will only cause havoc upon your life. And no matter what you do, you can sit in that pew and give yourself some sort of peace in your heart. You'll only go to hell attending the Free Presbyterian Church. Nothing you can do will save your soul from the consequences that are coming. You know, Adam and Eve were blessed because we know for a fact that Adam and Eve were saved. Because the Bible tells us that God made this promise of a Savior. Adam and Eve believed that promise. They looked forward to a time when there was one who would come to release them from the bondage of sin. They looked forward and they trusted God's promise. Oh, they had immediate consequences, but they didn't suffer the ultimate consequence in hell. And why? Very simply, because of God's mercy and grace. The mercy and grace He never extended to Satan. Because He told Satan, Satan was absolutely damned to hell. And you know, God is merciful tonight. He's merciful to you. If you're not saved, you can be saved. You can be saved. And I tell you something else. You can be saved tonight. God is merciful. And that's why He decided that He would send this person in humanity to come and to save men and women from their sin. That's why the seed of the woman is so essential, because you tonight and your seed are damned. And He was going to come to offer salvation. That leads us to our second and our last thing tonight, the victory of the seed of the woman. The victory of the seed of the woman. Immediately we see the battle unfolding before our eyes. We see a brother murder another brother. We see those two forces in the history of man starting to manifest their natures. We see sin at its greatest height. We see righteousness dwell upon the earth. We see all these things. And we see God preparing the world and preparing His people for the coming Redeemer. He told Abraham in Genesis 22, He said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." He's speaking of the one who would bring the blessing. He showed to Moses this Savior in type. He showed him in his sacrifices. He showed him in his perfection. He began to teach men and women what the Savior was going to be like. And there we see the activity of the devil, trying to wipe God's people off the earth, trying to frustrate God's purposes and bringing the seed of the woman. We see it constantly. We see battles against Israel. Here's the devil trying all he can. But the devil can never frustrate the purpose of God. The sinner, under the sovereignty, under the hand, the providences of God, we see the revelation of the seed of the woman. And I don't need to tell you who it is. You know who it is. It says in Matthew 1 and the verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, this is Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." This was him finally revealed unto mankind, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Finally the seed of the woman enters the battlefield and to do war with Satan, to do war with the gates of hell itself. And what did he plan to do? He planned to conquer. It says here, he shall save his people from their sin. And how do we know that this is the promised seed? Well, Galatians 3 and 16. And we remember that promise to Abraham about his seed. Now listen to these words. And it says, "Now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many." And listen to this. "But as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ." Here he is. And there's such a wonderful thing about his identity, because this here was not any mere man. This was the very Son of God himself. That God not show His great desire, that God did not show His great love, and that He would send His Son, the one who dwelt with Him in the splendors of heaven, that He would turn to Him, His only beloved, and say, to send Him to die for His people. What love the Father has for sinners. And you know, one thing that makes a father love his son so much is that he was willing to die for sinners, to enemies, to those who are at enmity to him. His only son. In Matthew 3 and 17, we see the declaration, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Here he was, revealed unto man. A man or woman, young person, children in the meeting, if you're not saved, I point you to Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. I point you to Him. He is the only one who will give you peace. He is the only one that can take the burden and the bondage of sin away from you. You must turn to Him and plead upon His mercy alone. He is the only one. For He is our peace. He's made peace by His cross. Well, Adam and Eve tried many things to cover their nakedness. They tried their fig leaves. And these leaves are only the vain offerings. Because in reality it gives them no peace. Religion doesn't give a man peace. No. Religion only gives man a false confidence in themselves. And Adam and Eve tried to run away from God. And you can try and run away from the Lord. You can try and come out of this church. You can go into the pitfalls of sin. You can sin all you like. You can do the worst of crimes to try and appease this voice in your head. This consciousness of your sin. You can try all that, run from God. But I tell you one thing, God will catch up to you. Oh, and you can try and blame Satan. You can try and blame something else, but the reality is, Satan can tempt. Someone can offer. But you have chosen willingly to bring yourself into sin, and the only peace is the blood of Christ. That's all it is. Faith alone and Jesus Christ alone. And when Christ came to this earth, there wasn't many really who were expecting or waiting on Him. The Jews were waiting for someone to liberate them from Rome. The Gentiles were most likely doing false worship and worshipping gods of stone. There's only a few band of people who are waiting for the Savior, and they rest assured there was one waiting for Him at His birth, and that was Satan himself. Satan was waiting for this one. And as soon as Christ was born, Satan strikes again. We see the satanic attack on the children by Herod, an attempt of Satan, a failed attempt. We see Satan trying to use Peter to try to defer the Lord from going to the cross. Another failed attempt. And then we see Satan maybe trying to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to death before His appointed hour. Jesus Christ knew something. He knew there was an appointed hour where He was going to die. That was His purpose. His purpose, it says in 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." And the Satan tried many things. He went into the heart of Judas. Oh, and Judas betrayed the Lord. He handed it over to them who sought only to slaughter Him. There the devil, it seemed, was having his way. And then we come to the climax of the battle. We come to the Mount of Calvary. Adam had been at the tree and he had fallen. Christ comes to the tree to undo all that Adam had done. To win the battle for His people. To win the battle for salvation to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. And Christ would do this at a great price. The Bible tells us, as we said earlier, that Satan would bruise His heel. And that there talks about the damage that would be done to the Lord Jesus. He's forsaken off His disciples. They plucked the very hairs from off His beard. They beat Him in the halls, the judgment halls. They mocked Him as He was at His weakest hour. And we know all know the story so well, because there He ascended the mount, and they crowned Him with thorns, and they nailed Him to the tree. What suffering the Savior went through. He always must remember He was God in the flesh, yes, but He was a man. And He suffered like a man. And His head was bruised. But let me tell you something, Satan was only shown to be an instrument in the hands of God. Because Satan's plan was God's victory. We said it this morning, didn't we, when we were looking at Acts, that according to the foreknowledge, according to the eternal counsels of God, Jesus Christ would go at this appointed hour to Calvary. Well, the Bible illustrates it so well in Isaiah 53:5. "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." There was the victory at Calvary. Not only was it a physical suffering, oh, it was a suffering that we can only describe as supernatural. But there Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And there we read of darkness coming upon that place. And there we are told in 1 Peter 2:24 that He bare our sins on His own body in the tree. There the just man, Ham who had done no wrong in his life bore the sins of his people. The transgressions that this man has transgressed against the Lord, the sins I've done in my life, Christ died for my sins. He took my sins. He took my punishment. He became my substitute. Let me tell you something, man or woman, you can have your sins placed in Him. Because there at Calvary's tree, the eternal justice and wrath of God against sins, against the people of Christ, was fully poured out and fully satisfied. He bore the hell that no man could ever bear. He did it there at Calvary. Oh man and woman, Christ cried, "That is finished." He did it. He overcome sin. He overcome the devil. And there, like any man who would have went under those sufferings, Jesus Christ gave up the ghost and he went to his grave. And there's one thing the Bible makes clear to us, and it says in Psalm 16 and verse 10, it says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." And I think that there means grave, that word hell. And it says, "Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." You see, if a man dies or a person dies, it's not long before you begin to notice the deterioration in their state. But Jesus Christ in his grave saw no corruption because the grave could not hold him. It wouldn't have been just for God to hold him under the pangs of death. He rose again and he conquered death. Oh, we can sing with the hymn writer, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes." Jesus Christ defeated sin, he defeated death, he defeated Satan, he crushed his head. All that Satan helped to bring into pass, Christ has defeated it all. And the sin that keeps you in bondage, that fear and death that's in your heart tonight, let me tell you, Jesus Christ has defeated it all. All that holds you back from eternal life, He has defeated every last part of it. And here's the question then. What will you do with the Savior? Will you take Him by faith? Have the shackles of sin removed? Have the assurance that one day you'll rise again unto eternal life. Oh, you'll have the victory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me ask you, man or woman, if you're not saved, what will you do tonight? What side will you choose? Will you serve God in Christ or will you continue on the road of Satan? I say to you, you would only be a fool to choose the losing side. But tonight I pray that you will come to Jesus Christ. Turn away from your sin, turn to Him by faith. And be sure of that victory. Let me read this one verse to you to finish. In Revelation 20 and 10. "This is the end of your master Satan. This is the end of him." Listen to these words. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." Satan is going to go to hell to burn and damnation. Let me ask you, will you go with him? I pray tonight that you come to Christ, that you know him by faith, and you have eternal life for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.